All right, here we go. The Brooklyn Nets, John, are in a bad way as the NBA bubble is about to begin in Orlando. DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie, now Taurean Prince, have all tested positive for the coronavirus, and they are now out for the bubble. Wilson Chandler is out for family reasons. Should the Nets just drop out of the rest of the season?
Well, essentially they are. No Kyrie, no Kevin Durant. They have an interim coach. I don't know anyone who's picking the Nets to do anything in the playoffs. So I don't think that, they're just going to use it to get their young guys some minutes. I think they're essentially, they're no threat to win anything. So I think the Nets have become basically what the Phoenix Suns are in the West. The yep. Suns have no chance to do anything, but they're going down there just to get reps. And I think that's what's going to happen. The interesting thing on the Nets is going to be who they get to coach that team next year. Kenny right. Atkinson was their coach. He was fairly highly regarded. There is a rumor, Mace, in my world, in NBA circles.
Not buying
that they're
world.
Making the Godfather offer to Greg Popovich, that Sean Marks, their GM, who used to work for Pop in San Antonio and played for him with the Spurs, has convinced the Nets owners to just give him a boatload of money and see if they can get him to come. I'm with you. I don't necessarily think Pop is going to be the guy, but if they're willing to do that, if they're willing to spend all of that money, who else could they get? Could they get Ty Lue? Could they get Jason Kidd? They're going to get somebody.
I mean, I think both of those guys are totally possible. And I mean, there's only 30 of these jobs. Those guys are looking for opportunities to be a head coach again. Tyronn Lue and Jason Kidd would both be good options for the.
Although
here's the
interesting thing about both those guys, who I agree with you. I know both those guys, and I think they'd both be excellent choices. They each would have a reason that you might go, oh, that's not going to work. In the case of Kidd, he walked out on the Nets to take the Milwaukee job. He was coaching the Nets. He's been there once before, so it's different ownership. But there has to be some people there that would say, okay, can you go home again? And in the case of Ty Lue, he coached Kyrie, and then Kyrie basically left. Kyrie flew the coop. He demanded a trade to Boston and won it out. So that could be two reasons why those two guys would. I think both Jason Kidd and Ty Lue are going to get head coaching jobs someplace.
Yeah.
It may not be in Brooklyn. And if they pull off the Popovich thing, that's just a coup that nobody thinks they can do. But who knows? Maybe they can do it. All right, Mace. 37 Clemson football players have tested positive for COVID-19 in the last 3 weeks.
Very suspicious.
At Notre Dame, did you notice how many has tested positive?
Don't they have zero?
One staffer. How do you explain that? How can 37 people test positive for it at Clemson and one test positive at Notre Dame over a three-week period?
Okay, I'm going to call for a piece of sound here. I think we still have it. This is Boomer Esiason on the radio in New York speculating about why there are so many positive tests down south.
I got to be really careful here because I don't want to say that this is an accusation. I don't want to. I just was thinking the other day about what is going on with the SEC teams down south and Clemson included, who's obviously an ACC team. A lot of their players are coming down with COVID-19, oddly enough. So are they trying to herd immunity their teams so these guys can get sick now as opposed to getting sick during the college football season, if in fact there is one? And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't put it past any of those guys down there.
Wow.
Can you imagine that a school would be deliberately sickening its players so that they are healthy when the season starts?
Maybe it's a hybrid of what you're suggesting. Maybe, or what, it's not you, it's Boomer. They're not intentionally getting COVID, but they're not putting up any safeguards to keep it from spreading. In other words, their attitude is, let's do a dry run. Let's practice. Let's ignore social distancing. Kind of like Sweden did.
Right.
Just like my wife's family's from Idaho. There's no COVID in Idaho. I don't know why. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know. But nobody's testing positive for it in Idaho. It sounds like very few people are testing positive for it in Indiana, where Notre Dame is. So maybe they're looking the other way on it. And when he says herd immunity, this is something Dr. Fauci has talked about, that many doctors believe that once you get COVID, you're unlikely to get it a second time. So maybe their attitude is, look, let's just not put up any safeguards. If a bunch of guys get it, and in this case, almost 40 players have, then that just makes us stronger when we start the football season in the fall. I'm with Boomer in this regard. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I would not put it past him. It would be to deliberately sicken kids or put kids in the way of this without taking necessary precautions is right on the verge of criminal. If that's what's going on, that's right on the verge of criminal. All right, Senator Kelly Loeffler from Georgia is co-owner of the Atlanta Dream. She has written WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert to express her opposition to the Black Lives Matter movement. The courts for both NBA and WNBA games will include Black Lives Matter. Loeffler writes, quote, I adamantly oppose the Black Lives Matter political movement, which has advocated for the defunding of police, called for the removal of Jesus from churches, and the disruption of the nuclear family structure, harbored anti-Semitic views, promoted violence and destruction across the country. I believe it is totally misaligned with the values and goals of the WNBA and the Atlanta Dream, where we support tolerance and inclusion. Now, so far, former WNBA players, including Cheryl Swoops, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Natasha Cloud, Alicia Clark, Sue Bird, have all asked the commissioner to remove Loeffler as co-owner of the Dream. Swoops tweeted that the WNBA must do better. Should the congresswoman be removed as an owner? Should she be forced to sell her share in the team?
Okay, first of all, is she a congresswoman or a senator? I thought she was the junior senator in Georgia. But
I'm sorry, she is the junior senator. You're absolutely correct.
Okay, so I think, Mace, if you look at the wording and the way you laid it out, I think she's making a political play. She hasn't been an active owner of the Dream since 2018. She owns, she has a financial stake in them, but she hasn't been running the team or making decisions about the team in 2 years. She has to know that coming out on this side of Black Lives Matter is going to get her canceled. I mean, she's not, the 80% of the league is black. I think she's doing this to get votes in Atlanta in Georgia the next time she runs. Do you agree with that? I mean, it seems political to me.
She, as an aside, is an enormous supporter of the President of the United States.
Right.
So she has aligned herself politically. But I do think if your values are that different from your players, you probably shouldn't be in the ownership business.
Right. And I think unless she's just a fool, she has to know that, right? I think she's trying to get canceled. Because
she's trying to make a point on behalf of the right wing, right?
Yeah, and she's trying to be the poster child for that cause, thinking that could help her politically. But to answer your question, I don't think she's going to survive it.
I
think
I don't either.
I think the WNBA has to, remove her, because it's what the players in the league are calling for, and the players in the league are overwhelmingly behind the movement.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So I think that has something to do with it. Okay. This is something that I know you don't want to get deep into, but I think I can bring it up in a way that will allow us to talk about it.
Okay.
So
sounds like politics are coming.
No. DeSean Jackson is coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so DeSean Jackson has apologized now two or three times for making a comparison. He did something that you and I have talked about on the show before. Almost every time someone brings up, in any context, Hitler, you know the apology is coming. If you compare anything to Hitler or the Third Reich or anything, what's coming next, and he did in social media posts, he included what many people consider, I don't know how you could take the other side on this, anti-Semitic messages that he attributed to Hitler. The Eagles, his own team, immediately came out and said his posts are offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling. And he came out and apologized twice with statements of a promise to do better. But here's my question about it. You know, there's so many people in the NFL that are politically active.
Yes.
That we saw it with Drew Brees. When Drew Brees came out on the wrong side of the kneeling issue.
Yes.
Hundreds of players came out and said, that, you know, this is wrong. Matthew Berry, our friend Matthew Berry, made the point that almost no players have come out and criticized DeSean Jackson.
Mm.
And you know, Matthew made the point that hate is hate. And you got to call it out in any form. Why do you think no players have lined up on the other side of DeSean Jackson here? Isn't that strange?
Yeah, it is. I haven't followed the story that closely. Really, no players have come out.
Very few.
And been critical of DeSean Jackson.
Retired players like Jeff Schwartz, who's Jewish, has come out and taken a, you know, a pretty strong stance against what DeSean said. And the Eagles, who have a Jewish owner and a Jewish general manager. Here was Matthew's tweet. This is our buddy Matthew Berry, who's the talented Mr. Roto. Has any current NFL player come out denouncing DeSean Jackson? I haven't seen anyone, but maybe I missed it. You are either against all hate or you are not.
Yes.
It's not a pick and choose proposition.
Yep.
I think Matthew's right, isn't he?
100% right. I mean, you know, I'm reading the comments now, a quote he attributes to Hitler about white Jews blackmailing America. I mean, that is straight up hateful anti-Semitism. And in speaking out for Black Lives Matter, you cannot at the same time be speaking out against the Jewish people, which is essentially what he's doing right there. So, yeah, how'd Matthew phrase it? Hate is hate and love is love?
He says you are either against all hate or you are not. It's
yes.
not a pick and choose proposition.
Yeah, I mean,
and
hate is hate, love is love, man. To come out with that sort of anti-Semitic statement is inexcusable. I know he's apologized and all that stuff, and maybe he's learned his lesson. He is not the first prominent African American to, in the wake of the Black Lives Matter, raise issues and images that are anti-Semitic. So it's happened with other people, but I'm glad he apologized, and hopefully he learned something from it. But I agree with Matthew Berry. If players aren't speaking up, shame on them. They
well,
should
and,
be.
And here's to let you know, the Eagles, here's the Eagles statement. We have spoken with DeSean about his social media posts. Regardless of his intentions, the messages he shared were offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling. They have no place in our society, are not condoned or supported in any way by this organization. We're disappointed. We reiterated to DeSean the importance of not only apologizing, but also using your platform to take action to promote unity, equality, and respect. We're continuing to evaluate the circumstances and will take appropriate action. We take these matters very seriously and are committed to continuing to have productive and meaningful conversations with DeSean, as well as our players and staff, in order to educate, learn, and grow. That, to me, Mace, sounds like the Eagles are considering cutting him.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it.
Now, or at least leaving the possibility open. Now, I've met DeSean. He's an L.A. guy. He went to Long Beach Poly. I've had good exchanges with him. I did a sideline interview with him once. He's made a horrible mistake here. And I thought that it was strange watching the rest of the league react. The teams in the league came out against him. The players didn't, which I found interesting.
All right. Let's do one more here.
Sure.
All right, let's go with this. It was revealed today that Tom Brady's TB12 company received $1 million in federal government aid from the Payment Protection Act, the so-called PPP program. was designed to provide relief to small businesses during the coronavirus pandemic. To get that money, TB12 had to apply through the Small Business Administration. Now, Tom Brady's worth $200 million. His wife is worth another half billion. Should Brady give this federal money back so that it can be given to one of the many struggling small businesses in this country?
Yes. I'm not going to kill him for taking the money. I think what happened, this actually happened with the Lakers, is their financial people said, hey, we don't know where this pandemic is going. Let's apply for everything we're eligible for. Once the Lakers realized that where that money was coming from, they immediately issued a public statement. They said, hey, we applied for this. We were checking all our boxes, but we don't need the money as bad as other people do, and they immediately gave it back. I think if Brady does that, people will forgive him. If he doesn't, Mace, he's going to get killed for it, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, that money is designed for that restaurant down the street that is offering carryout but can't open, or that hair salon that hasn't been able to open for a long time, or those independent movie theaters who aren't allowed to operate because of the pandemic. It's not designed for Tom Brady's TB12 pseudoscience
right.
BS.
And people are going to make mistakes here in this COVID world where, I mean, I mentioned to you guys that Tom Colicchio, the Top Chef guy, says 80% of restaurants are going to go under. It's indescribable, the economy and the hit it's taking. But when you realize that maybe you dipped into a pool that could help somebody who needs it more, just give it back.
Yeah, just give it back.
Give it back and
give back the money.
What's interesting about that is, like, LeBron's company, this actually came out today, his media company that's called Spring Hill.
Yeah, Spring Hill.
They were eligible to get one of those loans, and they didn't even ask for one. So it's interesting that Tom Brady did, and somebody like LeBron, even though, money aside, you know, what they're both personally worth, he didn't even ask for it for his company.
Right, which is obviously that would be plan A. Don't ask for it in the first place. But if you did ask for it, I think a lot of people who are CPAs and accountants said, hey, we don't know if our business is going under or not. Let's apply for every loan we're eligible for. If you get one of these small business loans and you realize you're not really a small business compared to the people that are getting killed, just give it back. Like you were saying, Mace, with Rob Manfred. Just admit that you're going to make mistakes and do the right thing whenever. It's never too late to do the right thing. Just give it. Tom should give it back.
All right. There is your scoop coming up next. 10 years ago today. Do you remember what happened 10 years ago today? We will relive that a little bit. Plus, Zion Williamson has come up with the coolest chunky necklace chain thing that
I've
seen.
Are you going to get one?
I'm thinking about it. You will have no appreciation for it whatsoever.
I'm not a chain guy, but I'll hear you out.
Okay, that's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. 10 years ago today. 10 years ago today. Funch, do you have that?
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, it's very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Wow.
I remember what a big deal was when that happened. We did an hour on this while you were gone.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, because ESPN ran a special, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, about the decision. And I, for one, do not think, looking back on it, that it was like the worst thing that ever happened. Lindsay, obviously, because she's a Cavs fan, and LeBron kind of gave the middle finger to Cleveland, thought it was a horrible mistake the way it was handled. I actually thought he raised over $4 million in charity. He did.
Yes.
He gave $2 million to the Boys and Girls Clubs, and then they took the ad time. John Skipper gave LeBron an hour.
Yeah.
He just gave him an hour. He took the ad time, sold it, and then gave that money to charity. And I thought, you know, it's player empowerment. People care about where these guys are going to go.
Yeah,
I had little problem with it.
I have a huge problem with it. I did then, and I do now. I still believe that he really put the screws to Cleveland. I mean,
don't disagree with that.
He did a big nationally televised thing, and at that point I made the determination that, oh, he must be staying in Cleveland. There's no way he would stab the city of Cleveland in the face. And in the end, that's exactly what he did. He stabbed Cleveland in the face. Lindsay, I understand how you felt about LeBron in that moment, because I felt like he really betrayed his hometown.
I think that's why most people in Cleveland thought, like we were talking earlier in our prep meeting, most people in Cleveland or in that area thought that he was staying, because we're all said the same thing. Why else would you have this big nationally televised special just to tell people you're leaving your hometown city, see you later, and basically just kick him in the face? And that's exactly what ended up happening.
He kicked him in the face.
So
he really did.
I will say, I don't think he would do the same thing, anything close to that today.
Well, in the other two times he's chosen a new team, he the one time he had Lee Jenkins release a Sports Illustrated article, and when he came to the Lakers, he just released it himself through Clutch.
Yeah, yeah.
Although there is somebody I thought who came off of the decision looking worse than LeBron or anybody.
Jim Gray?
Nope. Dan Gilbert.
Oh, Dan Gilbert, yeah.
That letter was so... he came off like a plantation owner. It was awful. If you go back and read that, it's like he felt like LeBron was... first of all, he said something like, he'll never win a championship, the so-called chosen one. You know, we gave him this, we gave him that. It just had so little respect for LeBron's talent and for LeBron's right to choose his own future. I thought Dan Gilbert came off awful. And, I remember when that thing came out, I remember it was in that Comic Sans font, and yes. I remember when
it was like pinkish orange too. The color, it wasn't even black; it was like pinkish color.
And I, you guys, I remember when it came out. I called my friend Jeff Phelps, and who you guys both know is a sportscaster in Cleveland. I went, "This is a joke, right? This is like the Onion. Gilbert didn't write this, did he? Somebody's like trolling him."
He wrote this. I'm looking at the letter now.
Not only did he write it. He goes, I have three friends at the Cavs who begged him not to send it out, and he told him to send it anyway. Like, his own PR people in Cleveland were saying, Dan, you wrote this when you were mad. It's going to come off very petty. It's gonna come off as you are a rich guy who's treating the players like... I mean, Mace, doesn't he come off almost... I mean,
I wouldn't say you said plantation. I think he comes off as just really, really angry at this guy.
Right. But I mean, LeBron earned his right to become.
Sure,
a
he did. He did. There was just a better way to handle it.
Right.
And I mean, there was a way to not piss off the entire city of Cleveland. I mean, they still would have been pissed off. But to have handled it in a quieter way, I think would have let Cleveland down easy. What I read here from Dan Gilbert is he's really angry. He says LeBron went on a narcissistic self-promotional buildup, culminating with a national TV special of his decision unlike ever witnessed in the history of sports and probably the history of entertainment. Clearly, this is bitterly disappointing to all of us.
Yeah, the part that I thought was incredibly petty was the self-declared former king will be taking the curse with him down south. And until he does right by Cleveland and Ohio, James and the town where he plays will unfortunately own this dreaded spell and bad karma. Why? Because an athlete exercised his right to free agency? And the fact that LeBron forgave him and came back and played and won a championship for Dan Gilbert, you, for example, Mace, would never forgive anybody that wrote that stuff about you. You would never, Ohio or not, if somebody wrote that letter about you, you would hold that grudge forever.
Would I?
Of course. You hold grudges better than anybody
that
I know.
I would hold that grudge.
You're not going back and making
forever.
Money for him.
I still am not sure if we're having Jeff Passan on the show anymore. So I definitely would hold that grudge. And I wonder why LeBron didn't.
I think LeBron thought it was bigger than him and Dan Gilbert. He thought it was about bringing a title to Cleveland and to Ohio. And when he won the title, Lindsay, tell me if you agree, when he won the title, he wrote his own ticket. There's nothing he could, like, fans of Cleveland, when he went to the Lakers, didn't even care.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I was still ticked when, you know, even after they won, he won the championship with the Heat, even when they came back and they, you know, they lost that first year that he came back, as soon as they won, everything was forgiven. And I think I would guess that like 95% of Cavs fans agree.
And if you remember when he won the title, what did he do? He yelled at the
he
top
yelled,
of
Cleveland,
his lung, Cleveland, this is for you.
I mean, what's funny is Brian Windhorst said that he thinks that's probably it is to him the most iconic quote LeBron's ever said in his whole career.
Which is what? I'm taking my talent to South Beach?
No.
When he yelled, Cleveland!
Oh, okay.
Well, by the way, Mace, one erased the other.
Yeah, that's true.
Had he not delivered on the second one, the first quote would have been the legacy quote. But instead, now he made, not only, boy, and that's, you talk about calling your shot. He goes back to Cleveland, and remember, at the time he went back, he had no other, like, gigantic stars. Kyrie was like a young star in the league, but Kyrie wasn't an all-pro or all-star yet, I don't think. I think he was on, like, what, Lindsay, wasn't he on all those Byron Scott teams that were all, like, last-place teams? And everybody knew Kyrie was good, but he wasn't, you know, nobody knew he was this good.
Yeah, he was great, but everyone could agree he wasn't an alpha dog.
And then they immediately traded the number one pick, Andrew Wiggins, for Kevin Love. And then it worked. It all worked.
Yep, it absolutely
worked. He took him to the finals 4 years in a row.
Yeah. No, I think all is completely forgiven from the city of Cleveland. An amazing moment. John, you told me from the beginning that it was going to be Bosh and Wade and LeBron together in Miami, and I said that is total BS. At one point, there's a crazy rant somewhere in the sound machine that we'll never find, where I said you are getting played. You're like a white bass with a hook in its mouth, and they are reeling you in, and you're ultimately going to be fried up in a pan when this is all wrong. It was a ridiculous rant on my part, and then it came true. And I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting in the production studio waiting for that answer, and I was stunned. I thought, at that point, there's no way you make an announcement on national TV with this much hype and not say you're staying in Cleveland.
You know, the one thing about LeBron saying he made up his mind that morning, it was in the works. I mean, he was talking to Wade and Bosch. It was in the works for a long time before that, which is where I was getting it. I was getting it from a lot of people who had it cold. Stephen A had it.
Yeah.
And so I just gambled that all my sources were telling the truth. But everybody was worried that, exactly what Lindsay said, that there's no way he'll kick him in the face. He'll change his mind the morning he wakes up.
Right.
And he didn't. And I think for LeBron, it was the right thing for his career. He went to four straight finals. He won two titles, and it enabled him to write his own ticket.
All right, coming up next for you, Zion Williamson, really cool necklace that he just has.
Yeah,
something
I hear about
really
this.
Cool he put on a chain. Plus, what's the significance of 14,000 fans at a game?
At a football game.
Explain that next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN, and I've been talking about this now. I've been teasing it for a couple of minutes. Zion Williamson has got a brand new chain.
Okay.
And what he has put on the chain, and I'll tweet out a picture of it right now, it is near and dear to Marvel fans. He has recreated with a jeweler Thanos' hand with all four Infinity Stones. It is really, really cool. Now, John, do you know anything about Thanos?
I think that all has something to do with the Avengers, right?
Correct. Thanos got all four Infinity Stones. Then he snapped his fingers. Then half of everybody disappeared. And they had to get the Infinity Stones away from him in Avengers Endgame. So Zion Williamson has created a chunky necklace with Thanos' hand with all four Infinity Stones on it. It looks great. Now, John, you're not a chunky necklace guy.
I do not own a necklace. That's correct. Now, you, I could see sporting a necklace.
What? You mean you don't have, like, a chain with some ice on it and a big emblem? I don't believe that.
No,
I
do not have that, but Mason would wear a big M.
He By
would.
The way, resident nerd Adam Bronstein just texted me and said there are 5 Infinity Stones, and he's absolutely right. There is the one in the middle, so I got it wrong. There are not 4 Infinity Stones. There are 5 Infinity Stones. Thank you, nerd Adam Bronstein. But, John, if I told you you have got to wear one.
Okay.
You have no choice but to wear a chain.
Okay.
What would you put on the chain?
I'd put, like, remember Laverne and Shirley? How Laverne had the giant L on everything?
Yes.
I'd put a giant L for Lisa. I'd have a big diamond L.
Wow.
What do you think?
Playing for the wife.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know why I would do that?
Why?
She would steal it after one day and I'd never have to wear it again.
That's smart. You know what mine would be? It would be at Venice Mace. Okay. I would use the
brand endorsement.
Because I want people to follow me whenever they see the chain. That's why I'm using the at sign. Venice Mace.
I think the Rams horn would look good on you. The new one. The new logo with the horn.
Oh, that would look good.
The D one.
You know what? I'm thinking about getting that tattooed.
You totally should.
The D head logo?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you should.
What can we do to get you to tattoo that on you?
That is spectacular.
You think I should?
I think you should.
Because when they phase it out in 2 years, you'll feel like a complete idiot.
They are not phasing it out in 2 years.
I bet you could even get listeners to go with you to get that tattoo done, and they could get their own tattoo, exactly what you got. You could have a whole big group of people and have a big party.
Big party, and everybody gets the Rams. And stop calling it the D head logo. It's the Rams head logo. Mm-hmm.
That's how I know it.
What do you think Eric Dickerson calls it?
Well, I mean, his initials are ED.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what everybody thinks it looks like.
But Rams fans have embraced it. We haven't done this in a while, but Rams fans have come around on this.
You've embraced it. I don't know any other Ram fans who've embraced it. Put that in a poll.
Okay.
Have you embraced this and put that logo in your choices? A, have you embraced this logo? Still looks too weird, would be B.
I will make
a reference to D.
I will put that out. Now, I wanted to get to this too, John. The Baltimore Ravens have announced today that if they are allowed to have fans, in other words, if the state of Maryland and the city of Baltimore say, yep, you can go ahead and have fans, you're all clear. They have a 71,000 fan capacity at their stadiums. They say they're only going to allow 14,000 people into the game.
Now, a 14,000 people in a stadium, what's the stadium hold?
71,000.
That's going to look empty, man.
It is going to look empty, but it's going to give some fans the experience of being at a game.
That could be you at opening night.
If they allow only 14,000 fans at SoFi Stadium opening night, Dallas Cowboys.
You'll get in. You're connected. You'll get in.
I'm so in for that. I am so in for that. I will wear my N95 mask. I will not take it off. I will not eat concessions. I will not drink a beer. I am going to be there just for the game, and I absolutely would do it. If there are 14,000 fans socially distant.
Okay, so you know that's one of the nights of the Dodgers-Astros at Dodger Stadium, too.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm getting into those games.
Well, but what if I got you tickets right behind home plate?
I'd be there.
No, you'd give up your Rams seats?
I'd choose Rams first.
Over the Astros, maybe the only time you can boo them.
Yeah, I choose the Rams and the because John, it's the opening night of the stadium that I have been waiting for years now.
So they're probably you're counting on them to cancel the preseason games?
Yeah, that's been going around that they're probably going to cancel preseason.
I think they should cancel preseason permanently.
Seems like an unnecessary risk. Plus, I'd like a refund on those tickets.
Right.
As it is, the Rams are going to play one home. This actually bothers me a little bit. The first game to be played at SoFi Stadium is a Chargers home game against the Rams.
But it's not a regular season game. It's a preseason
In the preseason.
Yeah, that game's getting canceled.
Yeah, I hope so. I want the Rams to have the first game in the stadium.
So you know what you know what you could do? The remember I mentioned the Astros are in for two games?
Yep.
Saturday night the 12th, you go to Dodgers Astros,
yep.
which is the first time the Astros will be back at Dodger Stadium since they got busted. And then Sunday night, the next night, you go to Rams Cowboys.
That's a good idea.
Then you get the best of both. Then you get your cake and eat it too.
God, will we be able to get into Dodger games, do you think?
In September, some people think we will. Now, Buster only was on our show. I didn't get a chance to ask you about this. Buster was, he says, 30% chance baseball starts on time and 0% chance that they finish. He thinks there is no chance they finish. Where are you on that? You disagree with him, right?
I do disagree with him. I think baseball is going to be very, very stubborn about this. I think baseball is going to be very stubborn.
They want that postseason money. You know that.
I think that 100%. I think there's 100% chance it starts. They've had a very relatively low positive test rate on all those tests. Now they haven't gotten all the tests back. And it's taken a couple of extra days to get some of those tests. But the test numbers are relatively low, given the fact of over 800 people tested, about 5% of everybody tested positive. So it's a very low positivity rate, which is a really good sign. And once they get into the season, I am telling you, those owners are going to hold on for dear life, and they're going to get playoff money. They are going to get playoff money by hook or by crook.
Are we being medically, socially, morally irresponsible by not speaking out against that? That if the only reason they're in it is to get the money, health and safety be damned, that's a mistake.
Well, no, because they're also giving something, right? They're giving us entertainment. They're giving, in other words, it is about their money. And it's always about their money. But it's also about giving the country something to root for, something to follow, along with the NBA, along with the MLS. Providing sports for the country, I think, is a noble cause. Now, hopefully they don't get really reckless. I mean, the idea, there's no excuse for recklessness. But if they can keep the positivity rates low.
And they're really low now.
And they're really low now. Maybe they're able to do it. They're bringing in another testing lab. We talked to Buster about that a little bit earlier, so that they don't have these backlogs on tests anymore. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they are going ahead. I mean, there's an intra-squad game tonight on Sportsnet LA, which all of you guys get now at 6:30. 6:30 is that. 6:40. And the other thing I wanted to mention, there's been some speculation about players that have not been in camp for the Dodgers, and that includes guys like
Gavin Lux, Kenley Jansen.
Yeah,
a couple.
Aaron, AJ Pollock. There have been a few players. One of the rumors that went around is that maybe Jansen isn't going to pitch. Because he's had a pre-existing condition with the two heart surgeries. Dave Roberts said today, this is per Alana Rizzo, that the rumor that Kenley Jansen is opting out is not, all caps, true. Jansen still has not reported to camp. But do not assume that he is out, which is huge. By the way, do we ever get Alan Sliwa to give us a review of Hamilton?
I think we were waiting for John to come back because it just came out this weekend, right?
No, I watched it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, we talked about it last week because it just came out on Disney Plus over the weekend.
Yeah, I watched it on Saturday.
We should ask him tonight.
Yeah, ask Sliwa. He was supposed to watch it and give us a full report. That's what we talked about last week. By the way, now I'm getting more information. There are 6 Infinity Stones: mind, power, reality, soul, space.
Get the stones right, would you?
I hope Zion got him right.
Well,
I only count 5.
How did Bronstein miss it? He's an Avengers nerd.
Yeah, he is a nerd. I'm not sure. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's back to handle Radio Tinder for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's time for Radio Tinder and Lindsay back on the scene today with the Radio Tinder. What do you got there, Lindsay?
All right, well, first we're going to start off in Thailand, where their red light districts were given the green light to open last week. And that includes sex and strip clubs filled with performers wearing face masks. After 3 months without any nightlife, bars, clubs, karaoke venues, and massage parlors were in the latest category of businesses allowed to reopen, but with conditions. Those conditions are: masks are mandatory for everyone. Upon arrival, all customers must have their temperature taken, and they also must give their name and phone number to the establishment.
Yeah.
At the Dream Boy Club in Patpong, bare-chested men with face shields can be seen trying to lure in the passerbyers off the street. And one dancer, she goes by stage name of B, said, "I'm okay with the mask because it's one of the precautions. I'd rather be working with the mask than have no income." So if you guys were planning to venture out specifically to another country to go to any of these types of establishments, visiting a sex or strip club with all these heavy restrictions, would you swipe left or swipe right?
I have a question, clarification. I could really use a massage. Can I get a massage? Was that a word you used? Massages? Are they can do those now?
Well, yeah, that was part of the group of the category of businesses that were allowed to reopen. And I'd get a massage.
Now, I don't want a happy ending or anything, but my back hurts. Mace, wouldn't you get a massage if they were legal?
Well, let me tell you something. Thailand is the land of massages. I mean, okay. I got to spend a couple of weeks there in 2014, and it is a spectacular country. Massages, John, $20 for an hour, including tip, for an hour-long deep tissue massage. Unbelievable.
I mean,
and by the way, I've been to one of those clubs where the ladyboys perform.
Research.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
If you go to Thailand, you're supposed to go see the ladyboys perform. So I went and saw the ladyboys perform because that's something everybody's supposed to do. I don't, you know, I'm not a big strip club, sex club. It's not my scene. So I would swipe left on this altogether.
Well, as you know, Mace, that is my scene. I'm in there, all the time.
John's big on the sex clubs and
strip clubs. You know, I haven't been in a strip club in probably 25 years. I
think you work in the NBA.
I know. Unbelievable.
Well, but
I would get a regular massage, Lindsay, if they would let me do it.
I would consider that, but that's it. Just wanted to also let you guys know, in case you're wondering, cockfighting and fish fighting venues still remain closed.
Okay, good. Right. Good to know.
All right, so next
Wait a minute. Fish fighting.
Yeah, that's angry fish. Go at it.
Oh, man. That just seems cruel.
I'm intrigued. I need to look into it now.
All right, what's the next one?
All right, the Arizona Cardinals announced earlier this week that they would be releasing rookie wide receiver Jeremiah Braswell. Braswell was arrested for allegedly driving his vehicle into Lake Erie while intoxicated. His blood alcohol content was over the legal limit. Mm. The Youngstown State product was found by police in Put-in Bay, Ohio, of all places.
Hey, Put-in Bay!
Still attempting to drive his partly submerged Camaro.
Oh,
police said that his speech was slurred, his blood alcohol, like I said, exceeded the legal limit, and he couldn't explain how the car got into the water. Now, even though he did an extremely stupid and dangerous thing, some people might argue that he deserves a chance to grow up and mature because he is just a kid. So, pro sports team releasing a dumb, young, undrafted rookie for doing something immensely stupid. Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right on that. He's an undrafted free agent. He's made a huge mistake. I have no sympathy for people who drive while under the influence. And I've always said, I think on the first offense, you should lose your license. So I have no sympathy for this kid. I think I'll swipe right. If I was them, I would also cut him.
You hit on the main point here. There's a class hierarchy in the NFL. If this was Larry Fitzgerald, which it wouldn't be because he just that's not his thing.
He's a straight up good dude,
right? But he's the best wide receiver on the team, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. They would give him another chance, Lindsay, like you're suggesting. But an undrafted rookie, you can't get away with that. You have to be beyond reproach. And you know, the reality is we're not all treated equally. All right. If Mason and I do something and Stephen A. does the exact same thing, Mason and I could get fired. Stephen A. would get suspended for a day.
What? You know, he's not more famous than you guys.
That's how the world works. And Mason hit the nail on the head when he said, if you are an undrafted rookie out of, where'd you say, Youngstown State?
Yep.
You don't have this kind of a leverage.
Nope.
You can't get away with that. I think you could see this coming a mile away, and the Cardinals did what any other NFL team would do.
Clearly, Jim Tressel doesn't have much pull in the Put-in Bay area.
Well, that's right. That's where Jim Tressel is now.
Was head coach,
I forgot about that.
Lindsay, you know that I used to own a house right at Cedar Point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my right at Cedar Point. A fantastic place. So I know Put-in Bay really well.
Yeah, Put-in Bay, they say nothing good ever happens there at any hours of the day. All right, guys, so last one here. And this one from our good friend Kylie Jenner. She's added another sweet tattoo tribute to her daughter, Stormy Webster. The 22-year-old mogul showed off what appeared to be the time 443 tattooed on her inner forearm. And 443 was the time that Stormy was born back on February 1st, 2018. Jenner flashed the tiny tattoo on her Instagram story in a selfie with her makeup artist. So, this one, I feel like there's a lot of debate around it. Tattoos dedicated to either your kid or a family member. Swipe left or swipe right.
All right, there's a famous story about this involving the late Tim Russert. All right. His son is named Luke and did a little work for NBC News. And one day Luke came home. And Tim noticed that he had gotten a tattoo over his right shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty noticeable one. And Tim Russert lost it with his son. He said, how could you go out and do this, at least without discussing it with us? We've raised you better than that. This tattoo you're going to have for the rest of your life, for you to just go out willy-nilly and get a tattoo without talking to us and without considering it, I just can't believe you did it.
By the way, Tim Russert is the kind of guy who would have said willy-nilly.
Right. And Tim's no longer with us. He died of a heart attack.
When
he was in his 50s.
Great guy.
But Luke said, and Tim wrote this in his book, Luke said, Dad, did you see the tattoo? And he goes, I don't care what it says, Luke. The fact that you did it without talking to me first is incredibly disrespectful and disappointing. And, Luke said to Tim, I'd like to show it to you. And he took off his shirt, and on the back of his shoulder, it said BR, which stands for Big Russ, which was Tim's dad and Luke's grandfather. And he said, I wanted it as a reminder that your dad was always looking over my shoulder. And Tim started crying and apologized to Luke for lighting him up. I actually do think, Lindsay, that tattoos that have a significance to your family are... that's the one thing I would consider getting a tattoo for. I don't have any ink. I have no problem with Kylie Jenner doing that.
I'm going to swipe right on that also. Look, the thing about tattoos is if they mean something to you, they're worth getting. Sometimes I look at tattoos, I'm like, what were you thinking? Like, what was that? Why do you have Tweety Bird on your forearm? Like, what could have brought that on?
Maybe they were related.
Maybe. But in this case, 443, the birth of her child, I think it's meaningful. I mean, I didn't get a tattoo by accident. I got a tattoo. You know, I love elephants. In fact, in Thailand, I got to hang out with elephants for real. And Ganesh is the Hindu god, the elephant god, and he's the remover of obstacles. And that's why I got the tattoo that I got. If you come to my house, you will see that I've got elephants sculpted, carved, pictures of all over the place. So it's meaningful to me. As long as the tattoo is meaningful, I say get it. If you're just getting a tattoo for the F of it, it is something you're going to live with for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think Bergman told me, what did he tell us, Macy? He had 6 tattoos. I think he told me if I gave him a do-over, he'd get rid of at least 2 of them.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, so
It was the name of his ex-wife.
I don't think he has that.
Yeah, that's another one, like girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives. Like, you got to be careful with those.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. All right, coming up next for you, the biggest story of the day. In case you're just tuning in, getting into your car at the end of the day, coming up next is the biggest story of the day. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.